Excuse me, colleagues. I would like to announce that Honorable Didier has been nominated as the acting chairperson of the committee. And Honorable Deputy Chairperson is excused. Now she's going to leave because we had to call her to come and assist us with the voting. Thank you so much.
Thank you to the committee secretary. We again apologize. We're 61 minutes late now, but we'll make up for time, as they say on SAA, when you fly between Cape Town and Joburg and have the wind behind you. Again, welcome to our members present. The challenge in Parliament that we share members of committees. That's the reason that we started late, as a clashing of committee meetings. The objective of this meeting will then be to get the information from provinces on the underspending of the different conditional grants as indicated on the agenda. I've got apologies that I received from Honorable Motsisi, from Honorable Bloom, and from Honorable Lee. Honorable Bloom is attending another committee meeting. Can you get approval for that apologies?
Yes.
Second, thank you. You noted that. Then for the sake of our guests from the provinces, we will introduce ourselves as members of this committee. Myself is Charles de Beer. I'm a member of the NCUB. I'm from the Northern Cape, Central South Africa, the biggest province in the country. And my MEC for Health is also here, Dr. Tace, and the CFO from Health. Welcome to them. And I'll start on my right-hand side. I work from our committee.
Oh, Sam Mazosi. I'm from the Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
I was born in the Eastern Cape, so I got a tie with the Eastern Cape.
Masemane Makubela from Limpopo, where you know that's a controversial Limpopo. If you want to say some decision, you take there.
Tim Harris from the Western Cape.
He's also co-chairing the Committee on Constitutional Review, a very important committee in Parliament.
John Dumna from the Northern Cape, also a member of this committee.
He comes from Uppington, where you get your license from. That's our committee members, and then we're going down the table. But you all introduce yourselves that we know who's who. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Edgar Fishi from the National Treasury.
Thank you. Tabo Department of Health, Northern Cape.
I'm
Secretary, you can introduce himself. Usually sit on the right hand side.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm Lubabalo Notata. I'm the committee secretary of the committee.
At the bottom, Mr. Tau. And Mr. Mkize.
Mr. Mkize, candidate of life for this committee.
Right, now we know who's who. Thank you again to the MEC that's present. You're setting an example. In attending these meetings, as you are the political head of that specific department. We're going to give Treasury immediately the opportunity to brief the committee on the information that we received from them. We're going to ask the Treasury to do that within 10 minutes, please. Zoom into the issue referring to the grants we are going to discuss at this meeting. The other stuff we can go and read in our own time. For matter of fact, we received the documentation in advance. On the Zulu, welcome, also from KZN. He's also, on the Zulu, Prince Zulu is also a member of this committee. I therefore introduced him, and then we will give to each province 15 minutes to do their presentation. I know KZN's got four or five documents. There's no time to deal with the five documents. Zoom into the specific issue. What did you receive? What did you spend? Why did you underspend? And your challenges. Those three things. Just zoom into the issue, please. Treasury.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable MECs and colleagues from the provinces and the National Department. As directed by the Chairperson, although the presentation covers a variety of different things, including background to what is currently happening in the health sector, certainly as at the end of the third quarter of the recently elapsed financial year, 31st of December 2009, I will not dwell on those issues and will concentrate on the grant. I do wish to be upfront with the committee in saying that in the programmatic slides in the presentation, we have had to fix some certain formula calculation difficulties. Indeed, we sent this presentation several times because we worked late into the night trying to sort it out, but we have sorted that out now. But as directed by the committee, I think the only background I will give is to say, and you can see that in your slides, is that the health sector has been under tremendous pressure. And in the previous financial year, although in the third quarter there was projected over-expenditure in the health sector of 5.5 billion rands across the country, this was reduced somewhat to just over 2.2 billion rands overall as at the end of March. This is still a considerably higher amount and is certainly worse than any other sector in government. But broadly speaking, in terms of where the pressures come from, in the three provinces that are experiencing the biggest pressures, which is Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal. Gauteng is a bit unique. Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal have got a major pressure on the compensation side as a result of the implementation of the occupation-specific dispensation as well as the ICF. In the case of Eastern Cape, there's also the HROPT. But Gauteng is unique in the sense that there's a goods and services problem in that particular province. But that broadly is the background to it. I will move straight then to the slide on the conditional grants, beginning with slide number 12 in your handout. The comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant. Firstly, as at the end of 31st December 2009, as you can see, the budget for this particular grant was adjusted upwards in 2009-10 in the adjusted estimates by approximately 900 million rand. So additional money went into this grant. And as at the end of December, the actual expenditure by provinces was sitting at 62.3%. The lowest being Mpumalanga at 51.5% and the Free State province at 55.3%. Other provinces were also, a lot of other provinces with the exception of the Northern Cape were also spending just a little bit lower than the guideline of 75, but those were the two that really had the biggest pressure there. At that time, provinces were projecting to underspend on the grant by 96 million rand, all of which was in the Mpumalanga province. Since then, if we move on to the next slide, in March, we can see that, in fact, provinces have struggled to spend some of the additional money that went into the adjusted estimates. A combination of the allocation mix as well as planning difficulties affected provinces' ability to spend. The underspending in this grant is, as of the end of the year, sitting at 235 million rands, most of which is in KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, and Mpumalanga provinces. What's also very interesting is that there was quite an acceleration in spending in some of the provinces that were previously under pressure. You'll notice, for example, that whereas Free State had spent 55% of its budget at the end of December, they managed to spend just about all of it by the time the year came to an end. In other words, they spent something like 45% of their entire budget in 3 months. So clearly, the way in which the cash moves varies very dramatically in a number of provinces. But overall, that is the spending outcomes as we have them. Honorable Chair, 235 million rand for comprehensive HIV and AIDS. And so the provinces, as you see over there, the ones that understand. Moving on to the forensic pathology services cost. As of the end of December, this particular grant had out of the total budget of 526.5 million rand, the spending at the end of December was at just under 74%. And there was no significant, I mean, in terms of the actual overall measures, besides the Northern Cape, there was no significant expectation of under-expenditure on the grant. However, if you look at, I'll call your attention, first of all, to the last column on that particular slide. What you see in that last column is that compared to the same period last year or the year before, the spending on this grant has slowed to just around 9.5% overall by province. In other words, compared to previously, they're spending less money. Particularly the Eastern Cape, which slowed very dramatically, 36% reduction in spending compared to the previous period at the same time. The Mpumalanga province, a touch under 24%. And then certain other provinces as well, where the spending has slowed 11%,
from the Free State to Western Cape, as well as a little bit of a reduction in costs in the south. So they definitely, as at the end of the third quarter, was a slowdown in the movement of the money in provinces compared to the same period last year. I must point out that for this particular grant, there were several rollovers of funds. There was one national rollover of funds of 10 million rand for the Northern Cape, which was rolled over and given to that province. And it would appear that certainly as of the third quarter, they struggled to move that money. But also there were provincial rollovers. In other words, money that was already sitting in the provinces, the provincial treasuries rolled over for those particular departments for about five provinces. Now, if we move on to the 31st of March, what has happened is at the end of the financial year, there's a couple of things that are to be noted there. I think let me start with the outlier there, which is KwaZulu-Natal, which submitted a report that they had overspent on the grant. This is something that we've raised before, both with the provinces, provincial treasuries and departments, the National Department of Health, as well, of course, as with the committee, that you cannot have over expenditure on a purpose-specific ring-fence grant, which implies that if a province is submitting a report saying that they have overspent on the grant, they either don't have a proper cash flow management of the grant money, or there is some kind of a reporting error that needs to be fixed. And at the point that we're making over and over again, this grant is what is called a Schedule 5 grant in the Division of Revenue Act. In other words, you are either going to break even or you're going to underspend. Because it's purpose-specific ring-fence money that comes directly from the national government to a province, and we want an accounting of that specific grant and what is happening with that grant. Other expenditure can be taken account of in a Section 14 report related to that program of the department in general. So that is something that we once again want to state and go on record in saying that we do not, the projections or other reporting of over expenditure are not acceptable with respect to a Schedule 5 grant. Putting that aside, you can see there that other provinces, just a touch under 35 million rand is the under expenditure there. And provinces that have slowed their expenditure year on year, the Eastern Cape is performing 39% or spent 39% in 2009, less than what it spent in 2008, and Mpumalanga province spent 11% less than what it spent in the previous financial year, even though their outright outcomes are not that bad. They've only underspent by 205,000 rand. Northern Cape is underspent by 13.5 million, Western Cape 7.2, as you can see the Eastern Cape and Free State 7.2 and 6.8 respectively. Moving on to slide number 16, the health disaster response grant. There's not much to discuss it because this is funds that were allocated in the Division of Revenue Act of 2009 to deal with a cholera outbreak in the Limpopo province. An amount of 50 million, as you can see, was allocated there. We've had significant problems with the reporting on this grant, which has been quite poor from the province. For example, up until I think the middle of the third quarter, the province was reporting that it had received all the money for the grant when in fact it hadn't, which, again, is a reflection of problems with respect to either the cash management in that particular province or some difficulty around basic reporting. But as of the end of December, the province was reporting that it had spent 10 million of the 50 million rand amount. The situation, as per the report they submitted at the end of March, has not changed. They reported that they had still only spent just under 10 million with only an extra 200,000 moved in the last 3 months of the financial year. So the province is reflecting under expenditure, very significant under expenditure of just under 40 million on this grant, which is a concern because obviously this was money given to deal with a very serious disaster, with very serious human impact in terms of the cholera. And so we have ourselves certainly raised to the provincial treasury our concerns around this grant in the past. Moving on then, I'm not going to spend time on the health professionals training and development because it's a Schedule 4 grant. In other words, it is a supplementary funding over and above what already exists in provincial budget. So there's not much point in talking too much about that because it's merely a top-up over what is in the budget of that particular or those programs in the provinces. The same goes for the National Tertiary Services, which is at the end. But moving on to slide number 20, which is the hospital revitalization. I don't think, and I know that it has been discussed in the health sector between the provincial department as well as the national department, and ourselves as well, that the performance of the hospital revitalization grant has been disappointing to Big League. At the end of 2008-09, this grant had underspent by just over 500 million, half a billion rand, and the underspending has become worse. At the end of December 2009, provinces were projecting to underspend by 535 million. Yet at the end of the year, the reports that have now come in for the whole year of 2009 indicate that the underspending on this grant is now 813.6 million rand, making it the worst performing grant in all of government at the moment. So, and if we look there, first of all, staying with slide number 20, if we look at the year-on-year growth, what has happened there, you can see that the overall, the 1.2% decline in spending compared to the same period in the financial, in the last financial year, particularly, well, amongst a number of provinces, particularly Gauteng and Limpopo, there's been a slight reduction as well as in the Free State. And I'm sure we will discuss as we go forward the reasons for why hospital revive. But really, there's been numerous difficulties in the health sector around the management of capital projects. Huge difficulties. I can tell the committee that consolidated financial results for the health sector indicates that, in general, the health sector has underspent on its overall capital creation budget by 1.3 billion rand. Particularly underspent by 1.3 billion rand. Particularly in the buildings and fixed structures item, where the underspending by provinces is about a billion rand, and the underspending on equipment is about 800. So, if it wasn't for some of the minor items, the underspending would have been worse. But broadly, if you look at the whole health sector in the country, take the nine provinces, the construction of hospitals, the clinics, district hospitals, and various other things, the purchase of equipment, the underspending in that particular portion of their program is 1.3 billion rand.
Wow.
And a large part of that is in hospital revitalization. Capital asset creation is experiencing significant problems.
Because that's for 2009.
Yeah. Slide 21, of course, you can see there outlines all of the things. I won't go through everything. I'm sure we will discuss as we go along. Most of the underspending to the end of the year has been in the KwaZulu-Natal province, which underspent by just over 225 million. Mpumalanga has underspent by 208 million rand. And the Free State has underspent by just under 102 million rand. And on it goes. There's various, every single province in the country has underspent on hospital revitalization. Slide 22 talks about the National Tertiary Services. Again, I won't dwell on that because it's a Schedule 4 grant. What it is, again, it's just merely a top up on existing budgets, as well as slide 23. Slide 24 refers to the 2010 World Cup Health Preparation Strategy Grant, which was introduced in the adjusted estimate of 2009-10 to assist provinces with some of their preparation with respect to emergency medical services for the 2010 World Cup. Not a lot of money, but there you are, 30 million rand added in the adjusted estimate. As at that time, the spending was very, very poor. I believe that with the exception of either North West or Northern Cape, no province has spent any money. But in any event, at the end of December, some money had in fact moved, and they had spent 5 million or 17% of that particular budget. Then just to conclude, Honorable Chair, this is just some of the issues that we are raising with respect to the health sector. The term that we've been using, us as a national treasury, in all of our engagements with the health sector, is that the health sector needs to learn to live within its own means. The vast over expenditure happening in a number of provinces, it's really something that we need to address. Over expenditure and personnel, quite a bit of it, of course, is affected by the implementation of the OSG. However, it is quite clear that in a number of provinces, there are difficulties with respect to the management of personnel, the management of the system. We have numerous, the committee will be aware of leave pay not being managed properly, overtime not being managed properly, etc. So these are issues that really need to be sorted out by all of us. The goods and services budget in Gauteng has in our view, is out of control, particularly in a number of the tertiary services where the situation like Chris Ani Baragwana will have a goods and services budget of 430 million for the last year, but they spent 780. So these are the kinds of things that we need to bring under control. We also raise a concern around the capital spending, which really speaks to the hospital revitalization grant. That the capital spending in health is not moving. The capital asset creation, buildings and fixed structures, the budgets are either too high or they're not being spent, and therefore hospitals, clinics, etc. are not being built at the rate that they should be. I've already dealt with the second point there on the salary. National Department is already engaging in various things. Try and assist provinces there. We're aware of certain things, but we believe more needs to be done in that. As I said, hospital revitalization program has deteriorated quite dramatically and is now the worst performing of the grants. Across various grants in health, there are certain provinces, such as Mpumalanga, for example, which for whatever reason seems to consistently struggle. If you take all of the grants and you go through each of them, you'll find certain provinces, it doesn't matter which grant you look at, that particular province appears to struggle in the health sector. There have been numerous examples in the health sector of the violation of the Division of Revenue Act. Certainly in the last financial year, we've seen numerous examples of that. We have documented examples of conditional grants being used for purposes outside of the grant, such as paying salaries for officials in head office. We've had illegal withholdings of funds by national departments and provinces. We've had the non-submission of quarterly reports as required by the Division of Revenue Act. For example, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant where they did not receive a report for on performance for the first quarter as the national treasury. We've had inaccurate financial reporting from provinces. And we've had inconsistencies in reporting between what the provinces are reporting and what national department is reporting. So these are the things that we wish to raise as a matter of really not complying with what the Division of Revenue Act says that departments must do. Cash management has been a major downfall of the sector. We know for a fact, and we met with a number of the CFOs to discuss personally some of the cash management difficulties in the provinces, and they are very significant. Supply chain is one of the major issues that is hampering, for example, the capital projects in health, where you find numerous examples of situations where bid evaluations are delayed, awarding of contracts is delayed, or contracts are awarded to somebody that can't do the job, then the contract must be cancelled and someone else must be found to complete the work. Mm. Situations where there's numerous delays in trying to get approvals for plans, design errors in hospital projects, etc. There are numerous problems like that. And then finally, of course, the proper planning. If you take a couple of provinces, there have been provinces which have submitted project plans to say, this is what we're going to do with the money. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the year, you have a situation where the province comes and says, we can't do it. We need to either make a change or we're simply going to underspend by some fantastic amount of money, 200 million or something or more than that. We've had that happen on at least two occasions this past year. So there's a planning difficulty there. We, in November, visited a number of hospital projects around the country as the National Treasury. And one of the things that came out is that there's a lot of variation orders in a number of hospital projects. Something is planned and designed for a radiology area, for example, or room, then all of a sudden there's a change and a variation, and it costs more money to make those changes. So these are some of the things that are affecting the hospital sector there. So, Chair, those are our concluding remarks with respect to this issue, and I'll hand it back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you to Treasury for valuable information. You will give opportunity to ask clarity questions because it's a factual document. In terms of Section 39 and Section 40 of the PFMA, the accounting officer is to take their responsibilities relating to budgetary control. In terms of Section 39 and Section 40, in Section 69 of the Constitution, this meeting is looking at the monitoring of the spending of conditional grants and performances specific in our province. Honourable members, are there any questions you want to ask Treasury now? Honourable Harris?
Just Treasury's Chair. Thanks. I would just like Treasury's perspective on it seems to me that one of the major issues is that capital expenditure, and as Treasury said, hospital revitalization is the major contributor there. Just Treasury's perspective on taking two provinces, for example, on slide 21. If you compare the performance of Northwest Province as opposed to, say, KZN, for example, I would value Treasury's analysis of what Northwest got right, which KZN got wrong, just as by way of an example. And then secondly, if provinces are underspending in this grant to such a degree, what happens next year? Does Treasury now readjust the amount assigned to those provinces? Or, because obviously the backlog in infrastructure is not going away, but you have a province that is unable to spend the money. How does Treasury treat the budget for next year?
If you speak loud enough, we can pick it up here.
No, my answer is about... I've been sitting in a number of meetings for many years now, looking at conditional grants and so on. What I want to find out from National Treasury, in terms of the coordination of work between National Treasury and National Department and province, what are your comments on the actual coordination of work? Because sitting here, I would have thought that one bottleneck are spotted in a particular province, you would then, as National Treasury, as National Department, try to unlock those bottlenecks, including sending technical teams to provinces, trying to assist, to unblock whatever is not working right in the provinces. In other words, this hands-on approach.
Yeah.
From national to provinces, or to locals for that matter, because you are talking about service delivery here. Matters, we are outlining many figures there, but the truth of the matter is that this is service delivery, and this is it has got to do with coordination of work from national up to lower level. Because what we are painting now is a picture whereby somebody sits in the office, and after 3 months, it goes to a computer and checks the figures and produce them like they are today. But for me, the issue is different. You need people who are going to assist, because the system is not working as it were. Whether you are looking at it from a national perspective, Because the truth of the matter is that this system is not working. This system is not delivering as it should because of the many areas you have highlighted, you know, because the areas may be capacity building, maybe technical support, maybe all those sort of things, you know, infrastructure on the ground, you know, not matching the budget for that matter. You don't have the kinds of systems where you can spend all of this money. I'm just citing a few examples. But for me, I would like to hear from National Treasury, National Health Department, what is it that we are not doing right in order to make sure that this system works? You know, because for me, I'm not even interested in asking provinces what are they doing with the monies and so on. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in knowing what kind of systems is applicable to make sure that service delivery takes place on the ground. Thank you.
And the honourable member's got a long background in financial management.
Yeah.
You can see the type of question he's asking. It's about coordination, control, monitoring, evaluation.
So you're talking about the medium-term expenditure framework, planning and budgeting and implementation. You're talking about all those things. You're talking about the Division of Revenue Act, the regulations there. You know, they are stipulated step by step. The role of National Treasury, the role of Provincial Treasury, the role of various other stakeholders. Yeah? You're talking about a comprehensive document, you know, that is not being applied as we sit here, you know. That's what I'm talking about. This system is I'm really concerned. Yeah.
That's why we've got the Ministry for Planning and the Ministry for Monitoring and Evaluation kicking in now. Honorable Gunda?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mazuzu has covered me a lot. The only thing that I would really ask Treasury is it, why is it difficult for Treasury? When does Treasury pick up this problem? When do they react? Treasury is supposed to see these things beforehand because they are giving the people the money. They are supposed to be hands-on immediately to see to that. Give us the money to buy water, let's buy the water. And that's my concern with Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
A friendly request, please put your cell phones off or on silence, please. It's interfering with the recording we are doing here. The point is, what is the coordination between National Treasury, the National Department of Health, and Provincial Departments of Health?
Mm.
What is that coordination? Because on a quarterly basis, there must be reports submitted. On a monthly basis, reconciliations must be done every 30 days and signed off by the CFO and the officials in the Finance Department. Also inform them the HUD that must put his signature to it. So there are specific rules. We want to hear from provinces, what are you going to do differently to get to your objective? That we are looking for that. KZN gave us the reasons, the challenges with RETIT. We've got a problem with the Department of Public Works. I presume it's in all maybe in all provinces. Then we call Public Works, they're coming on Friday to this committee on Friday morning. And we're going to deal with it. Not to fight with them, but to get a better way forward. Treasury, please. We are squashed for time.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Just to go through the questions from the beginning. I think the questions are from Honorable Harris with respect to Northwestern and KwaZulu-Natal. Most of that answer, just about all that answer, is basically about KwaZulu-Natal and its challenges. You know, with a fairly large capital program, the province has had some very serious difficulties, particularly with one particular project, the King George V project in the Durban area, and there have been continuous problems with that. Some of them, quite a number of them, not really the department's fault. There have been some very, very difficult things that have happened there. There are complexities as well. It's important to understand that in the health sector, it's very difficult to compare provinces, because there are certain provinces that have very large tertiary service provision, whereas there are others that don't really have that much. So if you take a KZN, for example, KZN has got a very, very big burden with respect to the provision of tertiary services. So their situation is very, very different from a northwest province. And specifically in KZN, part of the hospital, and in fact, this is not just in KZN, it's in other places. We've seen it in Limpopo, we've seen it in Mpumalanga, where you will have, for example, an old hospital which must be refurbished. But what will happen is you'll have these hospitals that, you know, they're not green projects. So you have these hospitals that have these blocks, you know, the sprawling setup where you've got these blocks. And so a contract will be awarded to the admin, another contract will be awarded to the psychiatric ward, another contract will be awarded to the maternity. And then all of these things have dependencies. If the one is delayed, it delays something else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you see in the reports, for example, you see admin block completed, but maternity 20% complete, delays, contract that couldn't finish, equipment not installed, contract cancelled, new contractor must be procured, and so what's supposed to be a 3-year project turns into a 6-7 year project because of these extraordinary delays. And these, some of them are, as I said at the beginning, very large hospitals. That really is the problem there. KZN's got that big burden. And also there's just the issue as well of trying to coordinate certain funding instruments. For example, you've got one grant, a forensic pathology services grant, which is for mortuaries, and you've got another grant for hospital revitalization. You know, how does the province decide to manage its mortuary services? I mean, do I build mortuaries as part of a hospital complex, or do I build mortuaries separate from the hospital complex? And how does that affect the way that my funding moves? With respect to what happens next as a result of the bad performance, and part of this will go to the question by Honourable Mazisizwe around the coordination. What are we doing going forward to try and address these difficulties? It is important for the committee to know and to be aware that the Treasury has internally a number of things that it has done and is doing to both assist national departments with respect to capital budgeting, capital planning, as well as the delivery of infrastructure. There is a capital budgets committee in the National Treasury, and the requirement is that for these big major capital projects, departments come and they effectively present their plans. And the plans are intensively interrogated, and the funding against those plans is obviously looked at as well. The difficulty is that once somebody presents a plan, and then you allocate money towards that plan's execution, and then a few months later the plan gets changed because of something... you know, a roof is not in the right place, or there's some kind of a design flaw or whatever. Some of those things are very tricky and very, very difficult. And, you know, unless we as the National Treasury hire a whole bunch of experts on what a hospital should look like and what all the various services and equipment requirements should be, it's very difficult to anticipate those variations when they happen. They really are under the control of the sector department responsible, which is health. It's competent to manage the provision of the tertiary services, including the capital projects that deliver that service. But in addition to that, we also do other things. We have the Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program, which we've been rolling out to provinces gradually over the last number of years. It's had some success in a number of provinces, and we're gradually moving that along in order to improve the way in which provinces execute their plans and the way they manage their whole process and the whole value chain of the delivery of these capital projects. The Technical Assistance Unit of the National Treasury, there's a TAO unit in the National Treasury, which is now offering assistance to provinces with respect to the health sector as far as some of these issues are concerned. And I believe that there's been engagements between the National Department and the provinces around that as well. National Treasury also conducts annual visits to provinces to see some of the projects. All of these things, while they are useful, don't produce a perfect, they're not going to perfectly solve the problem, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the people responsible for managing the project is not the National Treasury, and it can't be the National Treasury. It must be the people who have the competency in that particular sector. So we can do visits. We can have all of these things, and I believe the technical assistance is going to gradually produce improvements in the results. But at the end of the day, there are people who are managing supply chain in the departments, who are managing finances in the department. There are asset managers, or should be asset managers in the department. There are people there that are managing these vast projects. And some of the decisions that get taken on a day-to-day basis, on a weekly, week-to-week basis, it's very difficult for us to pick them up until weeks and sometimes even months later. Because as I said again, we're sitting up in Pretoria. So there's a lot we can do, and there's a lot we're doing, and we think it's going to produce results. But ultimately, there's a lot as well that must be done by the sector, a lot more in terms of improving the delivery there. We share the concern around the service delivery, and that is why we're doing these things, and that is why we're emphasizing compliance with the Division of Revenue Act as well. And I think as well that goes to the question around what is our response with respect to that. We are saying we need proper plans. We have already taken action to say that, for example, certain provinces must produce accurate plans going forward in order for them to get some of the underspent money back. Otherwise, they're going to lose it. So, Chair, I think I hope I've answered all the questions, but the bottom line is we are doing a number of things. There are certain technical things that we're doing as well. But I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that the sector has major responsibilities to improve the performance. Thank you.
We have within the parliamentary system in South Africa the oversight tools to do the monitoring on the performance of departments countrywide, national, provincial sphere, as well as local sphere when we come to municipalities. It's in the way in which we do our work to get the performance that we are looking for. We must get to that. What is the objective? The National Department on Health must prepare themselves to address this committee. In what way do they do the monitoring, the control and evaluation throughout a financial year, and also assist provincial departments of health? It's a pity we don't have public works here this morning. All the members, we have got a time constraint. We must still deal with the five provinces. Quick one from the...
No, Chair, I just want to agree with you. Just to say that as a committee, we need to really go back to this issue. And you have made an example, that of dealing with the National Health Department and National Treasury. Because, Chair, indeed, we need a different approach insofar as the management of conditional grants are concerned, from the point of view of the committee, because the kinds of results we're getting are not really satisfying. I just wanted to make that point. We need to go back to this issue later on. Thank you.
Yes, after 11 and a half years, Postmasburg is eventually going to get a new hospital. It was my old constituency, and we... I was like a roof that was leaking when they all appeared in front of us in the Northern Cape legislature. The point is, Mr. Shishi made a remark, we visit provinces. Mm. Yes, it's good to visit the province, but what do you accomplish when you visit the province? What's the outcome of the visit? What's the result going forward? When we do oversight, what are we looking for to take that department forward in terms of our resolutions? Do we follow up our resolutions that we take in the committee on a quarterly basis? That's the things that we also as members and as committee must look for. KZN I want to congratulate you. You've got a full team here. You've got the MEC here. You've got the MPL from the legislator. And you've got a department here. Well, I think that's how it must be done. KwaZulu-Natal, welcome again. Over to you, MEC, to make your input and your theme. We give you 10 minutes. Just zoom into the issues. We looked at your challenges in the document. And thank you for giving us the document in advance. Highlighted on page 3, point 1, the process and procedures with the Department of Public Works are strangely lengthy, and so you go on. And then page 7, 8, and 9, your different challenges. Over to you, MEC. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. And I'll take half a minute to comment on what I've seen from the document that you have done with. I think it's a very strong statement for National Treasury to make, to say we are living within the, we must be able to live within the means. In particular on issues of compensation of employees. Because that statement is not qualified by two very important points. One, if you allocate provinces OSD compensation and you do not match as it has been indicated, then that issue becomes an issue because provinces must either not pay all the healthcare professionals or take money elsewhere. The second part, we get an instruction, make a wage increase of about 5%. And on the wage agreement, it comes to be 9%. Now, the other 4% must come elsewhere. For a province like KwaZulu-Natal, we have 70,000 healthcare professionals. A 4% unbudgeted for becomes a huge amount of money. So those things should not just be left silent, because if the document puts this way, it does actually mean that we're just not knowing what we're doing. But we're trying our best. Those two very critical points impact on the compensation of employees, and it should be mentioned by National Treasurer. But thank you, Chair. We are meant to comment as a province on issues related to hospitalization. Let me just give you one example. We had a meeting last week, and the meeting was looking into why are we not able to treat mothers in South Africa who are dying when they come to deliver in our hospitals. And the professors who were there told us that, but we have told you this a long time ago. We tell you every year the same thing again. And I can tell you now, we are actually discussing this matter. It will come back after we have left this, and many more people will come. Why are we not able to spend properly on hospital revive? Issues are very simple and straightforward. The Department of Health is like somebody who says, build me a house there, I'll go elsewhere, I'll come back when the house is complete. On the issue of Hlabisa Hospital, to give an example, phase one is completed. We now have to do phase two. But phase two can't be done unless we demolish phase one. Now, what did you do here? I said, no. We built phase one wrongly. Now we have to do phase two. But before we do phase two, let's demolish phase one. Money has been actually done on that. Because we are sitting elsewhere, developing, somebody else there is dealing with the issues, and we are not part of that. Second point. The issue of King George. The issue of King George is a hospital that should have been completed a long time ago, that is in 2002. Now, why is it completed? Because there is an appeal by this person and that person because they were not held well by the agency who happens to be the Department of Public Works in terms of the real city as a bystander, and things are not being completed. But I think there's going to be a turn in the corner. The Minister of Health has said, let all provinces get people ahead on in terms of knowledge and skills on engineering. Because we need someone who's going to say, you are not going to do this right now, because this is not how you build a hospital. Start getting right. Because we get things on the rooftop, is either we have to get poorly managed, build hospitals and work on that, or start demolishing again. And there's money wasted. So I'll leave to the HOD then to continue with the other specifics on this matter. But unless and until we make a decision that the Department of Health are going to either help skilled people within themselves who are going to monitor themselves and monitor and check that this thing has been properly done, not when the building is complete.
Thank you, Chair. I will. The MEC has actually covered almost the whole story that we have as Department of Health in KZN. I'll just go to slide 4, which is on the board now. Let's go back. Slide 4 gives the trend of how we have had the allocations from 2005-06 to 2009-10, and if we look at the trend, it would seem like we improved from 5-6 6, 7, 7, 8 and 8, 9 and then dipped back in 9, 10. But the reality is that we were spending on projects that should have long been finished, like the King George Hospital that the MC has mentioned. And what is happening, if we look at those trends, we'll find that especially in 7, 8 and 8, 9, there was a lot of equipment that was purchased in relation to King George and in relation to other hospitals like Ngwelezane and so on, which was tertiary equipment. It was fairly expensive. And also the completion of phase one of Hlabisa Hospital was done at that point. The MEC has already mentioned the point of some of the challenges that then sit with Hlabisa Hospital to explain the underspending that we see in 9-10. The dilemma is, do we continue with phase two and demolish parts of phase one that have already been done, or we have to do a new work around that? We have, though, to pay for consultant fees or professional fees for planning for that very phase two, even though we are not sure whether we'll continue with it. And then moving to the next slide that shows the third quarter, we will realize that in the fourth quarter there has been some improvement. The third quarter was reflecting that we were at 28.5% spending, but at the end of March, we were at 50% or 49.95%. That is reflected in the next slide. Then the rest of the slides would go to the various elements of the grant, looking at organizational development, quality improvement, health technology, and as well as going project by project. So the 9-10 preliminary outcome project by project is reflected, and it can be realized that areas of quality assurance, organizational development have minimal spending, as there are challenges in the grant around those. And it must be noted that the bulk allocation for the grant in the province is at King George Hospital, as well as the Luangpholozi and Hlabisa Hospital. And all three have experienced challenges around the supply chain management. And then we just made a glimpse at the allocation for 10-11, and we won't dwell into that. And if we then move again to the notes that explain about the issues of underspending, the MEC has already gone through them. Of note with King George is that this is a combination hospital that has a district hospital, a TB hospital, surgical wards for a spinal TB, dental facility, as well as an area where we've had challenges with the changes in design due to the MDR, XDR that has recently emerged. And then moving further, with the Lower Umfolozi Hospital, it was also reflected in a bit of more detail around the procurement challenges that we have had with the tenders for that particular hospital. And as indicated, it has the bulk of the second largest allocation in terms of the grant. In the third hospital is Hlabisa. And again, we have had the similar incident where we have had delays in issues of procurement. And whilst we finalize phase one, we have the challenges as indicated. Then we have Ripley. Ripley Hospital it was a former Eastern Cape facility that we inherited after the border disestablishment processes. And in this situation, we have issues of dependencies where we had a need to get an access road to the hospital. And without that road, we couldn't continue with the infrastructure at the facility. And also, we had issues around the capacity of the service providers, the contractors. Then we have Tixligaseme. I'll take Tixligaseme together with the Dr. John Dube Hospital. These two hospitals, the soft turning was done in 2004. We are in 2010. We haven't started construction due to the delays. So in future, we will see a situation where there might be a fast track in spending, and we will think there has been an improvement, whereas we would have tied up some of the processes that had delayed the two. Madadeni Hospital is also under a similar situation where we have issues around implementing agents. We had challenges with Department of Works, and then we went to the implementing agent as IDT, and we are back with Department of Works because of the challenges that we had with IDT. And at this point, we would be moving with the suggestion from the National Health Council to move at improving the capacity internally to deal with infrastructure issues. I'll go now to Edendale Hospital. Again, internal processes between the national and the provincial Department of Health around issues of the design. We have had a year's delay around those issues. And what I must also reflect is the fact that in the revitalization unit in the province, we haven't had the sub-components of Revite properly supported in terms of health technology. We do not have dedicated people that assist in these projects in terms of organizational development. We have a situation where the posts have not been filled. And generally, the contributing factors that have been identified is the fact that as a department, as our MEC indicated, we have little control over our implementing agents, and also the capacity within the department at this point is quite limited to be able to monitor what happens in infrastructure, and also to have a better understanding of the documents that come through. And documents tend to move from office to office, sometimes taking a period of 4 to 6 months without anyone with technical expertise to take a relevant decision on those issues. And we do not have project managers in the various sections. And in supply chain particularly, we have had challenges that have led to quite a number of officers in those sections, especially around infrastructure, being either terminated or suspended. And we also have a specific issue that has been a challenge, the issue of reporting. We had a situation where we had not yet put a service level agreement between ourselves and the Department of Public Works, therefore the reporting was quite erratic. And also in terms of the aligning the finances, we had a situation where each section had its little finance section, and at this point we've moved all those things together with the assistance of the provincial treasury that has allocated a team within the department as part of the turnaround strategy for the department. And we have now a joint task team that has Department of Health, Department of Public Works, and the implementing agents coming together on a monthly basis to deal with the reports and to deal with the delays that are there. At this point, we are hopeful that the direction from the national department that we need to form project management units within our department would assist in improving the situation. And those are the issues that we have for now. And the CFO will assist with the responses to the financial figures that might arise during the discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to place it in to the provinces. We've got National Treasury here. We've got the National Department of Health here. If there's any issues you've got with these two departments, you've got the opportunity today, after this meeting, to engage with them. So make use of the time you've got available at Parliament today to deal with that. On page 8 of your presentation, the documents we received in advance, the KZN, I'm just sensitizing you that you can respond to it when we come to question time. The management structures have changed in the department, and these new incumbent who they see fit and don't act, incumbent who know nothing about the revitalization program, they have the opinion that they will do as they see fit, and don't acknowledge the National Department of Health authority and leadership in this matter. In some regards, this has resulted in substantial audit qualifications for the year 2008-2009. What are you doing to correct it? Provincial Department, National Department, what are you doing to correct this this issue, because it goes back to management. What is management doing in that sense? Limpopo, 10 minutes, revitalization. And after that, we'll take Mpumalanga on the HIV and also revitalization, and then we'll take questions. We're trying to finish off at 1:15, 1:30. Are you ready? Carry on too long, yes.
In the meantime, I would like to comment on the issue of the cholera, which has been raised by National Treasury, where it indicated that we have spent an amount of 10 million out of 50 million was allocated in the fund.
Mic is working. I will hand over to my MEC, but I wanted to complete the comment on the cholera issue. What happened is that cholera took place in 2008 and 9, and National Treasury gave us the money in 2009 and 10. 43 million was spent in 2008 and 9, and we incurred an unauthorized expenditure in that financial year. What is reflected in 9 and 10 as 10 million is exactly what has been spent in 9 and 10. But the balance is there to defray the unauthorized expenditure of 8 and 9. Not that we haven't spent, not that we're not properly recording, I mean reporting. Is that we're waiting for the legislature processes to authorize the unauthorized because funding has been provided. It's a cash flow issue which between us, National Health and National Treasury, we will treat it accounting-wise. Thanks. Let me hand over to the MEC to talk to the hospital organization.
For the MEC, you may carry on. We give your team 10 minutes to do the presentation.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So let me also pick up from what my colleague from KZN has indicated. And I think this is an issue that we raised previously when we appeared before you, Chair, that unless the issue of public works is addressed seriously, year in, year out, we'll come here and tell the same story. It is the madness principle that you keep on doing something over and over and expecting different results. That's madness. You know, something has to give in. And as the province was saying, where we appointed an agency, we have been able to fast track implementation of infrastructure development. We have done it as a department in collaboration with the Department of Education. Honorable members can go and check. We were able to fast-track implementation on infrastructure development where we didn't depend on public works. Yes, the money is with us, and it is not spent due to all the other challenges that you have reflected here of management by the Department of Public Works. Yes, we are where we are, and we are the ones who are taking the flag. Chair, if we can go to the trend. Indeed, we're given 212,360 million, and we are, of course, 20% below the expenditure norm. But if you look at the trend, there's a slight improvement here. Of course, it may be not anything to write home about, but it is a 4.5% improvement. We acknowledge that we are, nonetheless, 20% below. Okay, I'll go straight to the challenges. And of course, these are challenges that have been reflected upon by other provinces and other cities. The whole issue of management of infrastructure, this important grant through public works. Of course, the slow construction progress on site, and the CFO will go through those specific projects in the various hospitals. The civil and building contract delayed at Tabazimbi due to finalization of environmental impact assessment, and that has been done now. Of course, the dependencies that the gentleman from Treasury was talking about. In some cases, buildings have to be demolished before you can start, and those are some of the things that are delaying. For you to purchase equipment, as you know, you should have completed the construction. And of course, with the site change, again, is the collaboration with the municipalities who are sitting with local government to address this issue of changing of site unilaterally by the municipality. And of course, determination of specification of the scope of work at the infest. Even this one, we have appointed the project management unit that has now finished the work, and we are, you know, about to advertise for the work to commence. Chair, we're saying we have recorded improvement where we have appointed internal capacity, and we think that is what we want to recommend here, that if we're allowed to utilize the capacity that we have, we think we can do better. Thank you. I'll hand over to the CFO.
You may proceed.
I will go project by project, starting on the fourth slide. We have got the tower, where we were allocated 47 million. At the end of that quarter, we have spent 65%. Tower Mopo, we had a budget of 38 million. By the third quarter, we spent 75%. Maputa Malaji, 43 million, and the third quarter we spent 78 million. For all in all, where we did not perform well is the issue of Tabazimbi, which the MEC has alluded to, that we advertised the tender at the time when the contractor wanted to start. The municipality raised the issue of environmental assessment, which was not properly done, and we had to delay until it is done, but the contractor is now on site. That's why by the end of the third quarter, we spent only 38%. And also the Logong, though the amount was very minimal, but we spent 56% by the end of the third quarter. And Kansani, yes, we utilized the funds which were allocated, and the main issue was on GenFest. GenFest is a project which was completed, but it had some deficiencies, and we had to re-look at those things and to arrange that those things be corrected before the hospital can be officially opened. And for now, we have completed the planning process and the new contract is on site. We hope it will be fast track. And the issue of Messina, also there was some delay because of the site issues. Generally, then I have the following slide just indicate hospital per hospital and the various contracts which are on site and the challenges which is really experienced in those hospitals, which I believe that honorable members can look at them,
yeah,
and interact with the report.
And Chair, by the fourth quarter, we have spent 81%. Of course, it's still below the 100% that we're supposed to spend. But like we said, Chair, that we appeal for really an intervention in relation to our dependencies on public works. And also we're saying, looking at other grants, Chair, and how we're managing them, truly there must be a frank discussion across the board, national, provincial, to say, why are we doing badly on this grant? I mean, truly, it is a fact that there's a huge dependency here, a road layer here. And as I said, I'm re-emphasizing that one. Why are we doing well in others, and why are we having a problem specifically with this one? It's a question we need to answer.
Thank you, MEC. We noted that. I spoke to the Secretary of the Committee. We informed also the chairperson of this committee, Honorable Chani. Fumalanga, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Can I get
clarity
one thing?
Yes, sir. Quick clarity question from Honorable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just trying to understand on, I think it's your first slide on that presentation. Your actual expenditure for 2008-09 is 125 million. The number Treasury has on page 21 of their presentation is 90 million. And no, sorry, is 139 million. Yeah.
Treasury, you've got that? Can we get silence, please? That the MEC could also reply.
No, we'll look at it and contact. I have, but we'll look at it.
You want to say something, Mr. Shishi?
No, sir.
Not now. Okay. We come to deliberations, and we can deal with it. Malanga, are you ready?
Morning, Chair, and the House. May I just convey apologies from our MEC who couldn't be here today. She was caught up in the portfolio committee meeting, this meeting, and together with the CFO. I'm not well myself, but I will also try.
Oh, but you are very tough. You'll survive. Just yeah. Procedural that when MECs can't attend, they give a written apology to the committee, please.
She has submitted that.
Did she submit?
Yes.
We will follow up, but carry on with your presentation.
All right. There are two grants that you asked us to present on. If you go to the next slide, the presentation format, I will very be brief. As you say, we have 10 minutes. I'll just take the high-level issues on both grants. On page 2 of the presentation that I've made, the first slide, we had a budget allocation on the HIV and AIDS conditional grant of 200,226. We had then an adjustment again of 96.204, which was in November. Our total was 296. We indicate the transfer schedule parallel to that, which totals 296. As of the 31st of March, Chair, we had spent 289 with a rollover or with an under expenditure of 6.5 million. I see that the figure is different from what we have there, Chair. Mm-hmm. We have a system that is different, which I'll explain later. But if you go to page 3 and you look at the trends in terms of expenditure, 2006-07 had 100%, 7-8 we had 100, 8-9 we also had 105, which is was an over expenditure, 2009-10 we standing at 98. I will not go into the details of the areas that we focus on. But
how did you get to the over expenditure on 105?
I'm told that the system that was used is the department is using equitable share money and then claiming whatever is spent later for the grant. So in that process, they actually overspent.
We park that question for later, but keep it in your mind. Treasury must also prepare. Yeah, carry on.
So if you go to page 7, Chair, of the slides presented. The system used in the province entails delivery of activities by the department and payments process utilizing equitable share budget. Thereafter, the department claims the amount utilized from provincial treasury. We have one invoice which was received after the cut-off date of 26 March 2010, hence the 6.5 that we indicated that we're planning for rollover application. We note that as a province, we have the second highest prevalence in the country after KZN. We take HIV very seriously, and we have to do all our best to ensure that there is delivery of service in this area. So we have spent all the money in this conditional grant, subject to the 6.5 being cleared. Well, in terms of what have we done or what are the challenges are just the same as other provinces have indicated. We have the burden of disease is very high. The budget does not meet the demand for the service. There's a shortage of monitoring and evaluation for the service delivery. There's poor infrastructure across the province, which inhibits the rendering of effective services. There's also been a challenge with slow accreditation process for sites that render HIV delivery service. Going forward, Chair, what we plan to do is that we want to align our budget to the demands that are on the ground, strengthen the M&E component of the program, which will talk to monthly, weekly reports that will be given to the department, the respective directorate. We also want to rehabilitate and upgrade the facilities, clinics, primary health care infrastructure mainly, and then continue support to home caregivers in respect of the stipend that is so vital for them to perform the function, and increase the number of VCT sites for this grant. That's for the first grant, Chair. If there should be any further information, my colleagues will assist me. On the revitalization grant, if I may.
Yeah.
Admittedly, Chair, this is one area where the province has done badly, as you indicated in your remarks. We have trend analysis on page 9, the first slide, where in 2627 it's been 100%, 2781, 8972, 9, 10, 69%. There's been a downward spiral on expenditure in that grant. Second slide, Chair, we in the 19 financial year we had 304441 approved for the grant. We also applied for a rollover of 193. Our total was 498. Our transfers equal 304441, and the actual expenditure is as of 31st of March. 2010 was a 343 with the planned rollover application of 153.5 for the same financial year. I will not go into the details of each project. We have three major projects. It's Rock Ferreira, which has been a major headache. It started in 2003, still not complete to date. We have Emelo Hospital, which is the same challenge, and we have Tamba Hospital, which has the same challenge with a lot of issues that my colleagues have talked to, where areas are partially completed, dependencies, issues, and all those issues, Chair. If you may go to page 20 of the same presentation, we applied for a rollover of 153.5, which was conditionally approved by the National Treasury in November 2009, but that was subject to an audit of utilization of funds. The audit was conducted in January 2010, hence the office is still awaiting the final audit report. The 153, as we informed, Chair, has since been withheld by National Treasury, hence the reflection that we have actually underspent on this grant. An application for the rollover of funds based on the existing commitments incurred in the previous financial year has since been made to the National Treasury. Chair, I will not go, as indicated, for the sake of time on all the details of each grant and each hospital facility, but we have basically the same challenges. One, planning. Two, contract management, which is very poor across board. You know, we have contractors that we've made stringent commitments, and they still are able to get away without any penalties, and yet we still pay all these ourselves. We have capacity issues within the department where the people with the necessary skills are not available to manage this contract. Going forward, the province plans, in line with what has been proposed, to look at
beefing up capacity, looking at the possibility of getting engineers. We have invited National Department of Health to come to the province. An engineer from National came to the province, went through all the projects in the province, together with the MEC, the HOD, and the technical team. We have looked at each project by project, and we have made specific recommendations as to what should happen per project. I want to emphasize what was also said by one of the colleagues. What we noted is that all these things impact on service delivery. You know, as we talk about them, we are talking about them as projects, but they are really service delivery issues that we would also want to take seriously. We want to indicate that we have underspent as reflected there, but it's because of the 153 rollover which we had conditionally applied and hoped that we'd get, and finally we did not get. Thanks, Chair. And I don't know if my colleagues would like to add one or two sentences to what I said.
Anyone of the team that wants to add? None? We would like to hear from the Department of Health. How many engineers do they have within the department at national and two province provincial departments have engineers?
We don't have a resident engineer, but we rely on you know, support teams like IDIP or OSTs or so on, consultants. The plan going forward is really to get a resident engineer within the department who will assist us with managing this project.
A country like China many years ago realized that they've got a shortage of engineers. They went to schools, recruited students, sent them to a university, paid them, and took them back within government to do the work they were taught to do. That's the solution. So we, as employees in our constituencies, visit our schools, get the list from the principal, who wants to study engineering, doctor, become a medical doctor, social worker, and inform the departments, here's the list, we've got the people, can you take them forward? It's not so difficult. If China could do it, we can do it as well. We've listened now to KZN, to Limpopo, to Malanga. I'm going to give the members 10 minutes to ask their questions. Be direct, please, not long questions. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. More than three.
I want to ask the honourable members, we've still got Free State here on the spending on also revitalization of the hospitals and HIV and AIDS, the grant, and then Northern Cape on the forensic pathology. Do you want us to listen to all the provinces and then take the questions?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's agreement, thank you for that. Free State, neighboring to Northern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Can we just get silence, please, and give Free State the opportunity?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also thank the presentation as done by other provinces,
yes,
including that of the federal. Chairperson, I am not going to do the presentation, but just acknowledge some of the comments maybe that have been made by federal.
Yeah.
To say, starting from the grant on HIV and AIDS, I fully agree with Cesare that all at a sudden, as he said, that you see us spending so much. But that has been made by the adjusted budget of 63 million that we have received 2009. And then because we were very much lacking in that area, as you know, we've been in the papers. And as you know, that I have been so adamant to say the Free State would not run out of ARVs. Therefore, we spent all that money towards that, towards the ARVs and the laboratories. So that's why we have spent that in that way. And then on the issue of hospital revitalization, I also agree with my colleague MECs to say, you know, there's nothing that we can do as long as the alliance is not operating very well. The alliance between ourselves, Treasury, and Public Works.
Mm.
because that's where we lack. But then to know, to also maybe for just for information of the meeting to say the delays in our three revitalization hospitals, which is Stromsberg, Lady Brand, and I think it's ICU in Philonomy and the Witumelo. There's one contractor in Witumelo that we have just had to go and take on public works and make sure that we take the project back and make sure that at least we ask the contractor to move out of sight. Then we are in the process of appointing another contractor to finish off the work, because the very same person who was managing that contract has done a shoddy work in Philonomy in terms of Dr. Kotas. So we couldn't move forward with that person. That is the reason why you see us not even spent towards that contract 10 in Bitumelo. But Lady Brent and Transvec, SCC, they are on the table. We are hoping to have appointed the two contractors by the end of next week. So that one, we are on it. But the delays, as always, were between the two departments. I think on the issues, the revitalization, really, they are the same. They are the same. I cannot say more than what my colleagues have said. Then I will maybe ask the acting HOD to take you through the presentation, but also say we think before the end of this month, won't have an acting HOD, so we're not expecting a question on that one, because we have just gone through the interviews and all that. Thank you very much.
As progressive acting HOD.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. On our presentation, on the first page, slide number 2, I just wanted to allude to the fact that what appears to be a problem in the comprehensive HIV expenditure is caused by what the MEC has already alluded to, the additional allocation that we got through the adjustment allocation, which was the $63 million, which was basically used for ARVs, the lab test, as well as other consumables. So by the end of the financial year, all of the amount was spent. I think the main grant where we've had under expenditure is the revitalization grant. And the problems, they are what people have already talked about. The non-appointment of contractors leading to delays in the specific projects. For instance, if you look at page 6, slide number 12, you'll see at Philonomy, the ICU, underspent by $37 million, Lady Brent Hospital, $2 million, Stromsberg, 10.2, and these are the projects that are still being adjudicated as we speak. There's also the issue of poor contractor performance at Buitumelo, where we, in the casualty program, where the progress is about 6%, and we've needed a cabinet intervention to cancel the contract, because Public Works was not keen to do that, despite our recommendations. And then on the next slide of slide number 13, whilst we had these problems of failing to spend what we were allocated, we also got an additional rollover of 34.1.38 million given to us in December, and that further aggravated our problem. But we also want to take ownership that the problem is not just Public Works. The Department of Health has got its own internal lack of capacity, and this is in the areas of planning, the areas of supervising the appointed contractors, and also doing monitoring and evaluation. Because for each of these steps to be appropriately executed, we appoint consultants. And this is a lengthy process. Sometimes you don't get it right. That is why we even fail
to spend money set aside for planning, because there's this lack of internal capacity. And we're hoping that this proposal that is coming from National Department of Health will find some success here. But we're planning to review our own organizational structure and functions, and we want to ensure that we appoint technical experts that will assist in the planning, implementation, as well as monitoring and evaluation of the contract. And we still recognize that while Public Works is the implementation agent, we need to improve our relations with them in order to ensure that jointly we can still deliver on the projects that are on the table here. But we are going to be strengthening our reporting mechanisms to get at least some early warning systems to be able to act on time. In our province, there's also a move to have a provincial infrastructure bid by various experts from the different departments. And we're hoping that it will fast track here the efficient bid management. Thank you.
Anyone else to add? Just switch off your mic, thank you. Is that your full presentation? Thank you. Thank you to the Free State. The only province that can call themselves a state is a Free State. We give to the Northern Cape, Honorable MEC Sukacha with his team. He's got a medical doctor in his team, so everyone that's got the flu, there's a medical doctor. I can promote him. He's doing good work in another case.
No, thanks. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks, members of the committee. Chairperson, just one thing on what Treasury has said on the 2010 World Cup Health Preparation Strategy. I'm sure it was a slip of the tongue. It's not that the Northern Cape did not spend. The Northern Cape have not received. It's the only problem that they have not received anything on that grant. Chairperson, on the issue of the data that we must report on, I will quickly start with the purpose, Chairperson. The purpose of the function is to render forensic and major legal services in order to establish the circumstances and causes surrounding the unnatural death, injury, and related matters. A brief background, Chairperson, is that the forensic pathology services was transferred from SAPS in 2006-2007 financial year. The status quo of the facilities which were handed over to the department were in a state of disrepair and not to the standards required. Thus, in order to ensure effective and efficient services, identified mortuaries were to be refurbished or constructed as priority projects. We took mortuaries geographically spread throughout the province. Kimberley, the R, Kuruman, Kamos, Katamas, Forefather, and Postmasford. They are spread throughout all the five districts in our province. Refurbishment of the facilities will ensure accessibility and services are rendered in a dignified manner. During the year 2007-2008, constructing costs rose significantly. This placed pressure on the department's budget allocation. The province was ahead of schedule on some of the projects approved in their business plan. Thus, a decision was taken by National Health to allocate additional funds amounting to $10 million in 2008-2009 to the province. Funds were not spent, Chairperson, on 2008-2009 financial year as a result of the dispute that arose with the service provider. The funds were rolled over in 2009 and 2010. The amount of $11.106 million rolled over in 2009-2010 is thus broken down as follows. $10 million was for the building of mortuaries, $1.1 million for the goods and services, being commitments made prior to the end of 2008-2009 financial year. Our challenges, Chairperson, the underspending on the grant is a result of the following. The department is still involved in a legal dispute where the service provider seeks relief against the department.
alleging that we have not paid them for work performed. And in our turn, we argue that the service provider wishes to receive payment for work not being performed. This is a further complicated by the fact that even though the report of the service provider's quality surveyor reflects the work as having been done, and independent, we as a department have to take an independent quality surveyor, and his on his report, he reported that the quantity surveyor were incorrect. This was even acknowledged by the service provider's quantity surveyor. We have records and pictures of the facilities showing that the state of affairs after we have received the service provider's claim for payment. The court proceedings, Jefferson, were in April, and we're still waiting for a judgment and for them to indicate what was the court's judgment. If you look on page 8, Jefferson, the budget allocation according to the financial years 2005-2006, we've got an original allocation. We didn't have an adjustment there. We've got the total allocation, the expenditure, and the last column shows the under expenditure as the years go. But what is important there, Jefferson, is that for the last two financial years, 2008-2009, 2009-2010 is when the dispute started. And if you look at our under expenditure, went to 11 million, the other one to 12 million. And on the next page, Jefferson, page 9, if you look there again, we've got the original allocation, which was during the year 2009-2010. It was the original budget was 20 million. We had an additional adjustment of 11 million, which totaled up to 31 million. If you look at the first quarter, we spent 3 million. The second quarter, it was also about 3 million. The third quarter, it was 5 million, and which gave us the total spent as of 31st December 2009 at 13 million. The next slide, page 10, it indicates again 10% the original amount, the additional adjustment, the total allocation, the total spent as for 31st March 2010, and the under expenditure, which goes to about 12 million. Then on the slide number page 11, the department has requested a rollover to the amount of 12 million, which will be utilized for the following in the new financial year. We've got the payment of forensic vehicles delivered at the end of March 2010, which is about 657,000. Payment of goods and services delivered in April 2010, which goes to 169,000. The continuation of the construction of seven motorists, which goes to 10 million, and the procurement of medical and IT equipment for the new motorists, which goes to 1.8 million. The way forward, Jefferson, once the court has given judgment on the case and construction resumes, it will take up to 8 months for the project to be concluded. The construction of these facilities will result in the following: enhanced accessibility by local communities, improved preservations of evidence, enhanced quality of post-mortem, reduce the turnaround time for the reporting to the justice system. The department is committed to the successful completion of the mortuary construction project, as well as speedy resolution of the legal dispute with the service provider. This will contribute in a large measure to enhance service delivery to the people of the province. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, MEC. Dr. Teich, anything to add?
Thank you, Chair. Probably just to annotate a little further what the MEC has said. Of the seven mortuaries that are spread throughout the province, the dispute started with the main mortuary in the province, which is the Kimberley mortuary, the Kimberley Police Station. Now, because the contract was awarded as a single contract, when the dispute arose, the service provider flatly refused to complete the uncontested, to strengthen their hand, I suppose. But then, like the MEC said, Jefferson, we are sadly still awaiting the judgment. There's no movement, and as Chair, the members would know, culturally, death in our midst is something that is extremely sensitive and painful, and our people in the province, up to now, I think their patience slowly, slowly running out because of this matter. But unfortunately, the department cannot move before the court has announced it. Thank you.
That is true. Yes, honourable members, I said in the beginning in my introduction that the Northern Cape is the biggest province. If you travel from Alexander Bay in the west, where the Orange River flows into the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, and you travel to Norwell's Pond in the east, it's 1,330 kilometers and you're still in the same province. And that makes it more expensive and put a burden on the budget, pressure on the budget in terms of spending.
Are you still sure with me?
It's just a pity the FFC is not here today, because I'd like to address them on this one as well. It's a challenge. If you go to the Eastern Cape with the mountainous area, if you go to KZN with the mountainous area, the Valley of a Thousand Hills, I don't know if you have seen it. It puts pressure on your budget to give service delivery to your people. Mpumalanga, I've been there, in those mountains as well. So this committee members got some experience when they interact with the provinces. We've got the picture. But the end of the day is, what do we deliver to our poor people outside, living in a shanty, who wants a house with four brick walls, and a kitchen, bathroom and a toilet, that wants good health facilities, quality school education, etc. Leave it there. Honourable members, it's time for questions. Treasury will get opportunity to make their input as well as the National Department of Health. I just want to note the honourable members. Which first, honourable Gunda. Bella. Who else? Honourable Harris. In that way, will they? Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is not a question. I just want to make a comment to, as I listen to all the what the provinces have just said. I just want to say to the provinces, as honest as you were today with the challenges that you are facing, the problems that you are facing, if we can keep this type of attitude, I think you have won the battle halfway. To be honest, listen, this is our challenge. This is the problem. This is what we're facing. We need to sort this thing out. We need assistance to sort this thing out. I think from this committee side and from Parliament side, I think the work is half done. But we must not forget this one thing. We need to deliver service to our people at grassroots level. And I want to just ask all the provinces one question. As you were honest here today, go out there and face the challenges, and whatever need arises, don't hesitate to approach National Treasury like they said, you build up a paper trail, and if National Treasury doesn't respond, you've got the right when you come before this committee again to say, but we have done 1, 2, 3, 4. National Treasury has never responded, or National Department has never responded to assist us and to help us with this need. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gunda. Honorable Mokabela.
Chairperson, thanks. Mine is also a comment, taking from the premise of the Honorable Masozi when he indicated that there's a lack of coordination. But for us to sit here and we're dealing with the life of the people. People are dying because of HIV, no service delivery just because of this minor coordination. Women or the mothers are dying during delivery, as the MSS said. But from here, what are we doing? Are we going to come every year asking questions? God, no, I've asked you 3 questions to the Limpopo, 5 questions to them. I'm not going to ask questions. Let us rectify as the Honorable Moral Moses commented. We must rectify and start from there, and we do something. Next year, when we come here, we must see that we've done something. Thank you.
Okay, two questions. First one to KZN. I understand KZN wasn't briefed to come and speak on the forensic pathology services grant, but Treasury pointed it out earlier, so if I can give an answer, it would be appreciated, because what you have is a situation where there was gross underspending on the hospital revitalization grant. Almost a quarter of a billion rand, which was also 14% down on the year before, and then gross overspending on the forensic pathology services. And as Treasury pointed out, that's a grant. So where do you get the money to spend more? And it's also, it's interesting to me that within one provincial department you can have such alarming divergence, where you're underspending in one area and overspending in another area in huge amounts in both cases. And then just a question to Treasury, what are the implications of being in breach of the DORA? It's clearly illegal because it's contrary to a law. So what ramifications are there if the province does breach the business revenue? Thank you.
Any other members that want to put a question? No.
Can I add something?
Yes, you may add.
Chairperson, the problem of public works. Why are we sitting down and just listening to that? You see, they've given them a name, that police work department. That's because you are going to wait year in, year out. Let us do something about this department. Thank you.
That something is happening on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We've got 3.5 hours to deal with public works to see how we can take this issue forward. But this committee will make its recommendations when the report is compiled, and we'll take it through them to the House. There's the questions. The opportunity is there to respond.
Thank you, Chair. The HOD will respond to the question raised by the Honourable Member. But just to say this, if you keep public works on a separate day, they'll give you another story. The truth will always come when everybody else is under one roof. So you get a different story on Friday, and you'll call us again, we'll give you a different story.
I recommend it, but we'll do it in our report, that we engage you again with the Department of Public Works, with the National Department of Health, and the National Department of Public Works with Treasury.
Yes.
That will be a separate meeting. That will be part of the recommendations that we will come up with. If I can, as I go for a card, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the forensic pathology grant, the department has faced challenges in when the grant or when the transfers were done from SAPS to health, and we were supposed to improve infrastructure, and we had the grant, we had to plan, but there was maladjustment between the funding flows and the planning in the department. So we had a slow start. Because of underspending at that time, the funding that was allocated to health was actually withheld, and other provinces that were moving faster, in some instances, received that funding. And the promise at the time was that the withheld fund will be rolled over and returned to KZN when the improvement started. And KZN explored various options of delivering infrastructure for forensic, and at a point, they started with a faster method using steel frames, some form of prefabs, and so on, and the delivery was quite fast. And with an understanding that the rollover will, or the withheld funds will be returned, KZN went ahead and continued with the expenditure. And at this point, then there seems to be an overspent amount. However, if we go backwards and look at the withheld amount, the amount still balanced. So that is the situation with KZN. We did write a letter, as the Honorable member here did indicate, that we must keep our paper trail. I was just looking at my computer. I've got a letter that was written to the head of the DG for health with regards to this matter, indicating that we are going to experience a budget overshoot due to this funding not returned to the department. Thank you, Chair.
Treasury, do you want to quickly come on into this?
I think, Chair, the issue is captured fairly accurately. We're talking about forensic pathology in KZN. I think the difficulty there was that what needed to happen was clearly, I mean, it was a case of the money was needed at a different time, not at the time when it was there. But again, it goes back to the issue of what were our plans? What, you know, how did we plan for these things there? But the way that the colleague has outlined it is fairly accurate.
Any other comments on the presentation?
Okay.
Make use of your time now, and then we'll be...
Very well. Okay. May I start with the question by Honourable Harris on the implications of being in breach of the DORA? As rightly pointed out, the Division of Revenue Act is exactly that, an act of Parliament. So, clearly, if someone violates an act of Parliament, then you have to start from there to say that this is an act that the Parliament has passed. What's Parliament going to do about the fact that somebody has violated the act that the Parliament has passed? Now, from the executive branch's perspective, looking at the Act itself, Section 47 of the 2009 Division of Revenue Act states that anyone who, if funds, for example, are not spent according to the purpose of the grant, that's one of the things that is violation, then that person who does that is guilty of financial misconduct in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. That's what is stated in Section 47. So what I'm saying is that, you know, obviously from Parliament's perspective, Parliament would then be in a position to say, this is our act, what action are we going to take? Or what are we going to recommend against the officials or the people that violated that act? The Auditor General obviously has a role to play as well. Remember that the Auditor General audits departments in terms of their compliance with the PFMA, Treasury regulations, as well as the Division of Revenue Act. So we have situations, and they are fairly prevalent in health, unfortunately, where there are qualifications of number of provincial departments. With respect to other things, I agree with the colleagues that the issue of public works is a very, very big issue. If you get public works in a room by themselves, what they'll probably say to you is that, and this is what they typically say to us, is that, you know, they have a lot of problems with departments, particularly the departments don't pay, because remember, the budget, you'll have the budget that's sitting with the department, and then public works get sent to go and do something, build or refurbish or whatever it is. And so they'll, well, how true that is difficult to gauge, and I'm sure that the colleague sitting in this room would vehemently. But I think those are the kinds of things that happen when we deal with the health department, you get a story. When you deal with public works, you get another story, and people are just fighting, and somehow we need to get the fighting to stop and people to start talking about the same thing. So I agree with the colleagues that the public works issue is a very, very big issue. And there are instances where public works departments have definitely been failing. Provincial departments of health conclusively failing them in terms of delivering those things. And that's part of the reason why from our side as the Treasury, we've been rolling out such things as the IDIP program, the Infrastructure Development Improvement Program. On the issue of what's happening on the revive, I think broadly, you know, without getting into all the details, and there's a lot of detail around why
Rivat is not performing in the way that it should, in addition to the public works thing. But I think there are certain questions that we have been asking ourselves and asking in other fora where we are engaging with the health sector. One of the issues, of course, is the matter of, as I pointed out, the planning, and secondly, the contract management, the management of the contractors. You have a situation where you'll have one contractor or project management company. You know, they'll go to the Western Cape, for instance, and then they will, you know, perform there, and then they'll go to Mpumalanga, and then they will fail in Mpumalanga, the same people. You know, why are those things happening? Are there issues with respect to skills at the local level, where people are appointed to deliver and then they don't deliver, or they can't deliver? So these are some of the questions that are there. And then finally, on the planning thing as well, we have a number of situations now. Western Cape is one, KwaZulu-Natal is another one more recently, as the colleagues pointed out. They are applying for funds which were given in one financial year to be moved to not just the next financial year, but actually to the financial year after that. So funds allocated in 2019 moved in 11 and 12 and things like that. So again, why did we plan to do things in 2009 and now all of a sudden we're saying, no, not only can't we deliver it in 2009, but we can't deliver it in 2010. We need it to be moved to the third year. And we've all got to engage on this, and ourselves as well as Treasury, from a capital budgeting perspective, is something that we also need to engage in. I do want to make a comment around the spending numbers reflected by Limpopo and Mpumalanga. We don't quite agree with those spending numbers that are reflected there. And I think it's important for the committee to note the fact that when we get spending reports from provinces, we do a very thorough check of these numbers against what has happened on the actual system. In other words, the actual cash that has moved from one department to another department, from the national sphere to the provincial sphere. So the numbers that we have are numbers that have been vetted quite a bit. So the 172 million from Limpopo and 289.7 from Mpumalanga on the Rivat, we don't say quite agree with those numbers. We don't stop there, sir.
I take some advice from the committee. Before you come again to this committee to do a presentation, before you leave your province, check your figures with National Treasury, that we don't get a situation where it's disputed.
Yeah.
I saw a hand.
Chair, I'm not sure who can answer this, but if somebody could clear up for me the division of responsibility between the National Public Works Department and the Provincial Public Works Department in building these facilities.
The National Department, but before we give them the opportunity, what came out in the presentation is the whole question of the alliance between the departments, National Department of Health, Provincial Department of Health, National Treasury, as well as Public Works. There's an act called the Intergovernmental Relations Act. It's an act of Parliament, it's an act, it's law of this country. And in terms of that law, we will call departments again. We must look at the role of this committee. If they can't do it themselves, we will facilitate the procedures to get them to work together. Because at the end of the day, it's the people out there who are sitting and waiting for us. We must give them hope. We as legislators and the departments and administration of this country. That's what is at stake. That's why I say we must look at our role as committees in Parliament. The whole issue of contractors came out here. What is the track record of a contractor? Before you invite someone to come and do a job, look into the history. What is the record of this contractor? Did he do or she do quality work at previous sites where buildings have been erected? skilled people. The whole question of project management, procurement, management in general, and reporting. What is the controls from and the monitoring also from the National Department of Health? And then that we took it up as a committee that we asked provinces to engage more frequently with the FSC regarding their challenges. There were a few provinces that didn't do it, and we wrote a letter to Chairperson Mhlanga of the NCP, who interacted with the speakers of the different legislators, the nine legislators in South Africa, to speed up that process. And this committee will again facilitate the process. National Department, you're welcome. I'm going to move out that you're moving here. Yeah. It's only men sitting at the top here.
Good afternoon, honorable members, and the MEC, the HOD, and the colleagues from National. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to comment. Firstly, I would like to say that I will just give a general comment and then give my colleagues, who are the grant managers for HIV and AIDS, revitalization grants, and the forensic pathology services grant, to comment on specific issues and questions asked or posed for their grant. Firstly, we would like to confirm that National Health Department is acknowledging the challenges that we are experiencing as a public health sector with regards to capital expenditure. And that is why, as the honorable MECs have already indicated, that the National Health has embarked on a remedial action of ensuring that each province has an engineer. And National Health has already started with that. We do have an engineer, as already indicated by one of the provinces. And in terms of how many engineers do we have already, because this is a project that only started late last year, there's an engineer in Northwest, in Western Cape, National has already indicated. Housing has a seconded engineer from National Treasury in that collaboration as well. And then all the other provinces are still utilizing their internal capacity of quantity surveyors, however, are moving towards also getting their own engineers. And the benefits of health having these engineers is to ensure that we protect the interests of health department in these construction projects, and to have internal capacity and technical know-how, and to advise the department accordingly, as well as where possible participate in the tender awarding with insight and technical knowledge of all these technical things related to construction. So we are hopeful as National Health that this is going to turn around the situation dramatically. We're hoping that for the current financial year, the outcome of the expenditure for revitalization or capital expenditure as a whole will improve. Because we're not looking only at construction per se, we are looking at the holistic approach where we also include health technology as presented by some of the provinces. That is the first thing that we wanted to indicate from National. And then we would like to give one or two comments on the presentation made by Treasury. Firstly, we agree with the figures that they put on the table for December. Those figures were also presented at the National Health Council early January, and they were interrogated. And yes, at that time, we were projecting a possible over-expenditure of 5.2 billion. And correctly so, as we are speaking now, we must remember that the figures that we have in front of us are preliminary figures, not yet audited. So at this stage, as per Treasury figures, we're looking at the possibility of 2 billion. In comparison with last year, we overspent, I think, by 1.6 billion. So in defense of the health sector, I wouldn't say that we are the worst kind in terms of overexpenditure, looking at the burden of disease and the challenges that are facing the health sector. And I would like to indicate also that for the fact that we're projecting 5.2 billion at the end of December, it means we put a lot of effort in terms of cost containment to to ensure that we reduce that 5.2 to 2 billion as we speak today. So, yes, we have challenges, but we do have other efforts or activities that we're putting on the table between ourselves and Treasury in trying to look at the facts. And I know that this is a debate to say, is health sector underfunded with regard to this 2 billion or 5.2, whichever amount we're talking about at one particular time of the financial year, or is the perception out there correct that we are or inefficient or mismanaging our finances? So in that regard, we have a min-met that is planned between Treasury Minister or Finance Minister and the Health Minister, and that will start with a 10-by-10 that is scheduled on the 14th of this month, May, in preparation to that min-met, so that we once and for all deal with this matter of whether health sector, public health sector, is underfunded or mismanaging the funds. With those few comments, okay, maybe before I give to my colleagues, I should also like to emphasize that we do monitor the implementation, the compliance of DORA at National Health. We have regular meetings with the provinces at different structures, both at the CFO forum as well as with individual grants. So I will give over to the grant managers to respond on specifics. Oh, the issue related to the role clarification between public works and national. I'm not going to respond in a legal way, but my understanding is that in a similar way where national health and provincial health responsibilities are constitutionally, the provincial public works is independent from the national, I would think so, from the national public works. So they have the constitutional authority within the province, just like the health department has the constitutional authority in that province. National gives guidance, policy, support, and oversight. That is the relationship I think we have at the moment.
On the same issue.
On the same issue. So, can I clarify then? If these provincial health departments are getting a hospital built by Public Works, the provincial Public Works department will build the hospital in line with the guidelines from the national Public Works.
Yeah.
Right.
So the failure, when you talk about Public Works failing, you're talking about provincial Public Works failing. Okay, thank you.
Not that national public works cannot intervene when necessary, but there's a direct link between the province and the province department.
We'll handle that on Friday. Anyone else from the department, and then we'll give Treasury the last. Yeah, we've got the time problem.
Just a brief comment about the forensic pathology.
You're going on record.
Just a brief comment around the forensic pathology grant. I think honourable members need to, and Treasury, need to just caution against blame or punishment for good practice. And I think we take the Northern Cape as an example where they could have spent all of their money, but in fact they withheld the money because of bad workmanship and because of demand for payment of goods that had not been provided and so on. And so by withholding, it's good practice, even though in the figures it looks like bad practice. So I think it's just always important to find out those reasons and not to put the punishment. And similarly to say, well, we'll roll over once, but we won't roll over twice. Well, that doesn't make sense if we're waiting for a court case. You know, then we do need to roll over twice. So just to make that point. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Honourable members and honourable chairperson, I speak on the comprehensive HIV/AIDS grant. First, I just need to make it that provinces have extremely performed well on this grant. And you will remember that we had planned to reach about 923,000 people. Most all provinces have exceeded those numbers. And we are probably by now about 1 million people on ARVs. And in October last year, provinces indicated that they will actually be short of funds, and then we asked National Treasury to give us additional monies. And those monies were only given to them around October, November. But many of the provinces have managed to actually program and spend those monies. And like the CFO has indicated, some of the under expenditures that are reflected here, they are preliminary results. We expect that we will do some final results when we complete our business plans. And these numbers will probably change. And the last part, Honorable Chair, that the minister has really put a lot of changes in both in the way how we work. As you will remember, everybody has been to the national agency campaign where the national government with the provinces, and the provinces that have done an extraordinary work in terms of their launches and that. So I think the message here is that provinces are working very hard to make the HIV/AIDS program work. Provinces have actually achieved many of the targets on ARVs, and actually they have exceeded that. Many people have access to treatment than before, and I think this program is actually going to make a huge difference in the way of bed of disease. Thank you, Chair.
Now, just before you go, I just want to find out what is the impact of dealing with non-South Africa with respect to HIV and AIDS treatment and the related cases?
The political guidance from the minister, the minister first believes that everybody who comes to a health facility, the first thing you ask is the problem of the patients, and you actually manage with that. And there was an issue around the post-exposure prophylaxis in patients who actually rape and how we respond to those. One of the challenges was the fact that people had to get a legal document to show that they have been raped before they're given treatment. I think from the health point of view, our response is to deal with the people and ask other institutions to actually assist us with all these other problems of immigration. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable member, good afternoon. My name is Ndina Mpapuru. I'm the responsible with the management of National Hospital Revitalization Grant. I wanted to comment on three issues that were indicated earlier. One is the system issue that we talk about, that what's wrong with the system. And then two is regarding the implementation, technicality part of implementation of this program. And lastly is the relation between the National Department of Health, National Treasury, Public Works, and the provinces. Those are the three issues that I just wanted to touch. First, hospital revitalization grant is a conditional grant. And which means that it comes with conditions, and some of those conditions are some of the issues that are prohibiting the provinces to spend the money effectively. First, we have a problem of the rollover system. When National Treasury presented, they indicated that the grant is going to underspend by 800 million. And then I just wanted to indicate that in 08-09, there was a rollover that was applied by National, of which is amounting to 183 million. It was consist of money that was delayed from Mpumalanga and also in Western Cape due to under expenditure. Then there was a rollover that was granted from provincial sites. To the money that was not spent by the provinces, which means that the money was transferred from national to provinces, then provinces didn't spend 100% of 153. Then the problem that we have on the system is that we get rollover in November. That is the third quarter of the year. And then in capital in program, you have to plan in advance so that we can be able to utilize funds. If we get money in November, December, and which is the dead period of on the construction industry, then what do you do with that money on the last quarter of the financial year, which is January, February? Secondly, we get the money of the money that was supposed to give to Mpumalanga 153. We were having a condition that before we do the audit, we're not supposed to track that money, of which the audit was done by the end of January. We have only 11 transfers in the program. We're left with only one transfer. It was not going to be fair for any for financial department to dump the money to the provinces and expecting that province to perform by 1 month towards the end of the financial year.
That's the first thing that we just wanted to indicate, that we have the system, I mean, the challenges on the system of rolling over late or towards on the end of the financial year. And what we did on the previous financial year, also, you know, it, we put a request from National Treasury that, if possible, let's separate the adjustment budget of conditional grants or with other adjustment budget. If possible, we were requesting the money to be rolled over back by latest June, which is the first quarter of the financial year, so that we can be able to plan and spend the particular month. And you bear with me that if we plan to spend the rollover, that is not yet guaranteed. And then you commit yourself with the public works or contractors on site, then obviously you're going to overspend. And when you overspend, it's a question again, why are you committing when knowing that you don't have money that is going to be funded those activities? That's one thing. Then the second thing that we have, honorable members indicated during the discussion, that Section 39 of the PFMA is having some expansion in terms of the spending on the grant. One, we have the challenge in terms of the transferring money from one province to another, or maybe moving money from one project to another. We have a lot of business cases or projects that are already approved that we are putting them on the shelf. But if we have challenges in one project, for example, maybe if one of the contractors appeal, then you don't have chance to move money from one project to another so that you can be able to spend the money because of the conditions that we put on the door. Once the province submitted the annual PIP, which is a project implementation plan, then they have to implement those projects according to that plan. And then by doing so, then if we're having a problem in terms of the project that are on site, then we end up failing to move money from one project to another. Hence, that money is supposed to be sitting there in the province as an unspent fund. Then the second thing is we have challenges on the system that the system that we're using to transfer money from province, national to province, is giving challenges on the sense that if the department is on the negative, for example, Treasury, when they started here, they indicated that some of the departments, they are overspending. If the department is overspending, maybe in personnel and everything, then the negative on the bank of the department, then it means that even if you are transferring money for the conditional grant to that province, that money is going to be taken by the bank. Therefore, who's going to suffer is the contractor on site, because they're not going to be getting paid. Then that's one challenge that we have on the system, that maybe if possible we have to look at the issue of separating the accounts for the conditional grant and the normal equitable share, because we're having the challenge on that area. Then the other challenge that we have is on the issue of drawing the funds. The DORA says that if provinces are not performing in terms of financial and non-financial, the National Transferring Officer have to delay the funds on the for the period of 120 days. But that initiative is supposed to be approved by National Treasury also, and we will have to notify provinces within 7 days for them to respond why we cannot be able to withdraw the funds. Then we did that exercise, and that exercise itself is also a negative tool to National, because once we delay because provinces are not spending on the capital project, you sit with the funds that are spent funds. Then what happened to when we came to this kind of hearing, then we have to be hammered of under expenditure, whereas the system itself is the one that is forcing us to be in that kind of situation. Then, Chair, the next step that I just wanted to talk about is on the implementation side in terms of the monitoring and the processes that we are doing. We have the very detailed system, and I think it was a good system, because maybe what I just have to say before I go to the system itself, to the system itself, is that we have two problems in health. It's not only public works that are giving us problems. We're having two centers of problems. First is on the planning side, as provinces already indicated, and the second one is on the implementation side. And then the engineer that we're talking about, they're going to assist us on the implementation side, not on the planning side, because engineers
cannot help people. People are supposed to plan health bleeding if they help people. Because what was happening on previously is that as MACs from KZN indicated, we just give the plan to a brief public works. They have to design for us and bid for us. Then from there, we have to go and occupy. When we are occupying, because we are the one who knows how the, what are the features that need to be done in those facilities. We're complaining. Then we have to get documents correct in terms of planning. Then that is what the system that we introduce in national, that we have to get our planning correct because it was not done before. First, things that were not done before, we were not evaluating design of the facility. We were just bleeding through public works. And then what we're doing currently, we put the team to, in place composed by national official and provincial officials who are expertise in terms of planning on health. One, when you plan for health, you need a person who works in the hospital. You need a person like a nurse. You need a doctor. Then you need quantity surveyor for evaluation of cash flow. You need architecture for drawings. Then you need civil engineering. I mean, but those are going to be more important when you, for geotechnical tests and other things on the implementation. Then that team of people, we have the people that were appointed. That's why we can say that an engineer alone, for example, civil engineer, cannot be able to do their work. But we need the team of these people who can able to be assisted by this team to do the work. Then on that area, what we do, we ask people, provinces, through the STP, which is Service Transformation Plan, to give us the list of priorities of the project. Then they develop business case. And business case is supposed to state clearly why do they need to revitalize this hospital. Location, population, services. Then from there, we approve that. Then once we approve the concept, we allow province to plan, to do planning, which is project brief. And I want to emphasize this. Project brief is not supposed to be done by outsiders. It's supposed to be done by the people who are working in health. And then that project brief and the design, once completed, will go to master plan. Then from there, we're supposed to present master plan to treasury, which indicates how much the project is going to cost, including all components of revitalization. That is where we are going to have it list, because as Christian indicated, we don't have internal expertise in terms of planning. That's another delay process that we have. But in terms of M&E that we are doing, as the colleague already indicated, that National Department has already appointed the engineer, what we are going to do in this process, we are going to set up the committee. Initially, we are not having the contract between the public works and the province. It was not allowing National to intervene. But what we're going to do, we're going to request, when we draw the contract, National is supposed to be given a chance so that we can able to intervene. And we're going to set up the site meetings on the monthly basis, where we're going to call public works, implementing agents, province and national departments, to sit together and we'll discuss the issue of infrastructure. Then this is going to be avoiding the issue of the pointing fingers to each other. Then the link between Treasury, Public Works, and National Department of Health. Chair, when we do this budget bids, we always sit down with National Treasury. We have a committee that was appointed before to look at the issue of the hospital revitalization. And then when we do the budget bid, the budget started from the provincial side. Then when they come to national, then we have to discuss it with National Treasury. And then, therefore, the only problem that we're not doing is between when we go for implementation. National Health was not having intervention of public works. And the answer that was asked by the honorable member from Western Cape was that why in 2005 we came here on the proper hearing, and we were saying the same thing, that we're having a problem of public works, provincial public works being independent. A national public works DG was there on that meeting and he indicated clearly that they don't have control over provincial public works because they are under the legislature. And the other thing is that if we have independent implementing agents, again, is the power, I mean, it's supposed to be the decision of the provincial legislature to say who's supposed to be the implementing agents of the project within the province. If the province is ready to go independent, then they go independent. If they try to use public works, then use public works. But National Public Works doesn't have much role on that process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable members, we must be seated in 25 minutes in the house. So, and I've got the whip here with me. So
yes,
we must
it's a pity you've allowed it to go on like this for a long time. But here we've agreed that we'll meet the Department of Health later on. And surely, the Department of Health, Public Works as well. Surely, Chair, if National Department come here with Provincial Department, they can't be on the same level. They can't. They can't be raising the same problem. You know, because National is supposed to be solving issues affecting provinces. And we want to see that machinery, you know, working. You know, because sitting here, you know, listening to what National Department of Health is saying, really, we need more time. And to the extent that we need to go to specific projects in provinces, how they are dealing with specific projects, you know, and we need to request them. Even just the way we ask them to present things to us, we need to change that and be more focused, you know, so that we get this thing of coordination clear as to how is it happening, you know, what is the link, what is that chain between national and provinces with respect to particular projects in the provinces. That's how really I would request us to deal with the national department. Because just as I say again, sitting here listening to the Department of Health raising the same issues that provinces are complaining about is not on. It can't be. It cannot be. There needs to be a change. Thank you, sir.
Thank you to the honourable member. You take the words out of my mouth because that will be part of our recommendation in our committee's report. The President said on the 11th of February we will have to do things differently. The Minister of Finance said we must spend our money wisely. It's not just words. There's a meaning to it. This is part of the practice of this committee that will facilitate departments to work together. If they've got a problem to work together. As we now a year in the new administration when we started last year in April, May. And we're still complaining about the same issues. And something's wrong. And we are going to correct it. Okay, coming out also from the National Department, we must get our planning correct. That's one of the basics, is your planning. Doesn't matter what you do, you must plan. When you drive home, you plan. I'm going to get home. There's a roadmap to take. The law is a roadmap. The acts are the roadmap. So we've got it. You must just apply it. All the members, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for your cooperation. We started an hour late, 61 minutes late. We tried to do all our work to all the provinces that was present, the MEC, thank you for your presence and also your cooperation. Treasury, we are going to see you again on Friday morning when we deal with the Department of Public Works. And then to the honourable members, there was supposed to be a joint meeting tomorrow that will be the 5th of May with the Planning Committee on Finance in the NA. That meeting is postponed until a later date. We would have liked to convene our meeting, our committee on the Select Committee on Finance to deal with the outstanding report on the Northern Cape, the oversight of municipalities in the province, as well as two sets of minutes. It's clashing with a rules meeting. I will consult with the whip of this committee if it's possible that this committee meet after the plenary tomorrow, if it's possible. Because I know it's Wednesday, it's also study groups. So I will liaise with the whip, and then you will be informed by SMS from the secretary side. All the members, all the MECs, the officials, I bring them to the end of the meeting. There's fresh tea, there's fresh sandwiches, there's fresh water. Help yourself. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.